An abbreviated late show here on this Tuesday evening. News Talk 830 WCCO. Abbreviated because at 8 o'clock, President Donald Trump will speak and we will carry it live right here on The Good Neighbor. Big story in sports that involves Minnesotans and the Minnesota Vikings. And it's really the biggest storyline, the biggest topic as we've hit free agency, is the fact that Sam Darnold did not receive the franchise tag from the Minnesota Vikings. And it's interesting because when you look at the National Football League, far and away, the biggest storyline, as everybody has been talking about throughout today, is Sam Darnold is the A topic and everything else falls in line after him. And imagine that, the Minnesota Vikings and their free agent quarterback is the biggest talker. A guy that last year, you got on the cheap, and he just resurrected his career in that short of a span to become the number one free agent target in the league. So today they didn't tag him, which means a couple of different things. That the Minnesota Vikings believe in J.J. McCarthy and that they're looking to move forward with J.J. McCarthy. But on the other side of it, you have, well, should they bring him back at a cheaper rate than what the franchise tag would pay? Would you bring back Sam Darnold if he agreed on a deal where it paid him, roughly $30, $31 million a year for the next couple of years, kind of a short-term situation? Would you be willing to do that with Sam Darnold? 651-461-9226. Let's just go and put it out there definitively tonight, what you want the team to do. Because we'll get a lot of speculation over the next 48, 72 hours. But what do you want your favorite football team to do? What do I want them to do? I'm going to tell you what I want them to do. I want them to move forward without Sam Darnold. That's what I want them to do. I love what Sam Darnold did for the team this past year. He was awesome. But at the end, we saw the warts. We saw the flaws. And it wasn't all just on him. Like, there were times where he dropped back and he didn't have any time whatsoever to get rid of the football. I get that. But he's a good quarterback. I'm not sure how dynamic he can be at his best. And I'm not sure if he's a guy that could get you to a Super Bowl. That's just me. The topic will not go away. It will be something that will be talked about until he signs. Until Sam Darnold gets a deal, I think everything else in the National Football League will be B topics, B, C, and whatever else. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, he was on earlier today talking about the A topic in Sam Darnold. And this is what he had to say about not extending Darnold.
I would not bring back Sam Darnold if I'm Minnesota. I would thank him for his time. But what I have on my team is a Jim Harbaugh-coached quarterback who went undefeated, won a national championship, was drafted in the top 10 by Kevin O'Connell, makes $4.9 million this year, is 22 years old, and is not a rookie. And oh, by the way, if I need a veteran with him, I can keep a guy who was on my roster this year who has more playoff wins in my building than Sam Darnold does. His name is Daniel Jones, who won a playoff game for the New York Giants at Minnesota. That is my depth chart. I'm bringing in J.J. McCarthy, and I'm bringing in Daniel Jones, and my QB dollars are probably $15 million or less with those two combined, and I am very comfortable with that. Because I promise you that even if they don't make the playoffs next year, it's not that big of a deal in comparison to when you have a veteran quarterback like Cousins or Darnold and you don't win a playoff game. It's unfortunate how I feel about this. I feel badly for Sam Darnold, but unfortunately for him, he has too many years of that don't look like what I saw last year for me to pay him $40 million and above. I just can't do it that way. And I have a top 10 pick that was handpicked by Kevin O'Connell, that was coached by Jim Harbaugh, that is on a controllable deal, 22 years old, not a rookie.
I agree with the sentiment. I really do. I have the utmost respect for Sam Darnold and what he gave this team this year, but I'm just not looking to put a lot of eggs in that basket. I think it is time to move on. With respect, though, to Evan, there's one thing that I will say that I disagree with him. Like, no, until J.J. McCarthy goes out there and plays, he's a rookie. He says he's not a rookie. No, he's a rookie because he ain't played against the big dogs quite yet. But with all that being said, I am in the camp that says you got to move on.
Yeah, I think there's no question. If Sam Darnold would have finished the season strong and you win a playoff game, then you're like, okay, we got more out of him in 1 year than we did out of Kirk Cousins. Is it worth pumping the money in? You could say yes. But you saw two very similar games. Like the game that you saw at the end of the year against Detroit was the same game amped up against the LA Rams. So to me, regardless of whatever the other issues with the offensive line, lack of a running game, this, that, the other, you have to go with the unknown because you know what the ceiling is with Sam Darnold. And you don't want to be good. You don't want to be competitive. You want to be great. I would rather take a shot with the unknown and you've got the money to build around rather than sink money into a quarterback that may have been a one-year wonder.
651-461-9226. Love to get your reaction. Love to get you to weigh in on this, whether a phone call or a text. From the 612, Darnold got it as far as Joe Webb and Christian Ponder in the playoffs, which is true. But, man, I can't look at this and feel like this team, with the issues that it has, with the other people in positions that they have to solidify, and a lack of draft picks, justify that price tag. If we had a full complement of draft capital, then I wouldn't be as upset. Or I wouldn't be on the fence. And I say, you know what, let's go ahead and roll the dice with Sam Darnold. But because of that, I mean, you're lacking a lot of draft picks. When you don't have that draft capital, it hurts you.
You have to be more aggressive in free agency. That's the thing. Without that draft capital, they're going to be able to build their team, and I think Vikings fans should feel good about the way that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah went about it last offseason. But this year, it's going to be even more important because you don't have a trade chip. The only thing you had was possibly tagging Darnold and, you know, go to a quarterback needy team, but that isn't going to materialize. So you're absolutely right. Unless you're going to somehow maneuver on draft day, this is kind of what you're stuck with.
The only thing that could be a problem, and I'll just go ahead and mention this before we go to break, is there could be a team or two that looks at Daniel Jones as a starter and pay him. And want to pay him. I'm dead serious. That could be part of it. So, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that jumps out here and says, you know what, Daniel Jones, we believe in you. The Giants did not coach you up properly. We saw you win a playoff game in Minnesota. And we'll take the risk.
The only reason you'd be doing that is because of the KOC factor. I think that's the only reason. It's the same reason why you take a shot on Sam Darnold after he spends a year with Kyle Shanahan.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. Your reaction, your thoughts, your text, your calls are next here on The Good Neighbor. All right, the text line wide open. Phone line's wide open, 651-461-9226. From the 651, on the topic of Sam Darnold and the quarterback situation with the Minnesota Vikings, they say, I have said for years that the Vikings need to groom a quarterback. They brought in used quarterbacks since Warren Moon's days. That's actually not that accurate. All right, so when you think about draft capital, they brought in J.J. Don't you think that this is trying to groom J.J. into being the starting quarterback?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so he was out last year, so we'll take that one off the table because he was out.
Yes.
Okay? What were we trying to do with Christian Ponder?
You're trying to groom him.
Okay. Did and none of these things have worked out. Tavares Jackson?
They tried.
All right, but this is the biggest thing. They were grooming a guy, and it worked out, and the guy that they were grooming, and he showed that he was a stud, was Dante Culpepper. He got hurt.
Yeah. Shredded his knee in Carolina.
Devastating knee injury in Carolina off of an awful hit by Chris Gamble. Chris Gamble, essentially, his career ended because he did that to multiple players where he went low on their knees like that and ruined their careers. That was the guy you groomed, and he was a hit.
He would have been the guy.
He was the guy, and he got hurt. Remember now, Dante Culpepper got here in 99. Did not play.
Jeff George.
2000, he started, and he threw for 3,937 yards. In his rookie season, he almost threw for 4,000 yards. 4,000. Okay? He threw for 33 touchdowns. That's in his first time getting a chance to play. You look at his years in the National Football League, his best year in 2004, Dante Culpepper threw for 4,717 yards and 39 touchdowns.
We got MVP, MVP votes.
That's insane. He was the runner-up to Offensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. He only threw 11 picks that year, 39 touchdowns. So that was the guy that you groomed and ultimately got hurt.
Yeah. I think you also looked at Teddy Bridgewater. Also, they wanted Teddy to be the guy. And then he had that awful knee injury and was never the same, rightfully so. But I think if you're looking at Dante Culpepper, that was, if it wasn't for that knee injury, Dante could have been, he was on the trajectory to being an all-time great for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he might have, you know, we don't know, but the path was there for Dante if he hadn't gotten hurt.
Got you. And they say that's what I meant, groom JJ. I do believe that what they're trying to do right now is groom JJ. No one thought that Sam Darnold was going to play at this level.
No, nobody.
So that was what last year, that was the intent, was to groom JJ. I don't, for one second, did I not believe that the Vikings intended for JJ McCarthy to start from week one.
No. The plan was, it was going to be an open competition. If JJ played well, he could push Sam. But Sam, for all intents and purposes, was going to be the guy going into the season. All of a sudden, Sam catches fire, and you're like, with JJ McCarthy's knee injury, you kind of sit back. You're like, okay, let's just see where this magic carpet ride takes us. Because once you get to 7-8 wins, you're playing with house money at that point. And Sam Darnold changed the context of the conversation in a good way for the Vikings. But now that doesn't change what you have to do this year. The plan for me still has to be the same. I think you treat it the same. JJ is not anointed, but you make him earn it in training camp the same way that you wanted him to push Sam Darnold last year.
I do wonder about the Daniel Jones part of this.
I'm a Daniel Jones truther. I think the talent is there. I don't know. It just didn't work under Brian Daboll.
I want to see Daniel Jones with KLC. That's what intrigues me. Like, for some reason, KLC can unlock guys. And what could you find with Daniel Jones getting unlocked? And Daniel Jones actually had, like, a good year a few years ago with the New York Giants. Well, that was the year when they beat us.
Yeah. Yeah. When Daniel Jones got paid.
I was about to call U.S. Bank Stadium the Metrodome.
No. Well, I mean, hey, you know, it's, you know, best home field in the entire NFL, best fans in the NFL, yada, yada, yada. We heard it, been there, done that. I would like to see Daniel Jones on this roster.
Me too.
I don't know if there's a team to just flat out says, you know what, we're going to give him starting quarterback money and just blatantly hand him the job after sitting for a year. I think the way that it went down in New York, I think that might give teams pause to just let him come in and be the guy.
You know the other part of this conversation that we're not having yet, because Darnold's the number one face of everything. And by the way, he's at the Tiger Woods deal tonight.
Yeah.
Like, I looked up there at 6 o'clock when they started what do you call this?
TGL or TLG or whatever the golf thing is.
Whatever that tour is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the virtual thing that you do in a bar.
He's in the stands.
Yeah, he is.
And I looked up there, and you and Taylor Rivera, she was doing her news, and I said, isn't that Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
And you looked up there, and you were kind of like thrown off, and I was like, dude, I think that's Sam Darnold. And then when they showed him again, you were like, yeah, that is
Sam
Darnold.
I can tell
Sam's
that,
playing it up, baby.
No, I can tell that he's waiting for that paycheck because he was drinking beer in a light plastic cup. He's probably drinking like some of that room temperature Bud Light. You know, he's not drinking that expensive beer right now because he's waiting on that payday.
He's drinking the good
stuff. He's not drinking the good stuff. He's waiting for that payday. You can't drink the good stuff until you get the money. Get that cheddar.
Do you think he was not being paid well when he was a top five pick? He's still got that rookie contract money. That's stashed away somewhere.
Well, I know, but I mean, I don't think he's out there, you know, just like hammering it up. I think he's being smart. I think he's out there drinking a Coors.
He
should. Of course, I wouldn't drink, but you know, but good for Sam.
Wait, you too smart. Good for Coors?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'm not good enough for a lot of things, but Coors Light. Guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. All right. 651-461-9226. One of the big topics and one of the big storylines, I won't say topic because we haven't talked about it on the show, but one of the big storylines right now has been Pope Francis. He's in stable condition after episodes of respiratory failure. We all know that he's been dealing with pneumonia. But what exactly is pneumonia, right? Andrew Steam from Allina Health is going to join us. He'll give us the lay of the land, describe and tell us, give us some information on what exactly pneumonia is. We chat with him next after weather on The Lake Show. Currently, Pope Francis is still battling pneumonia and has been for the last couple of weeks. But I said to myself, you know, we hear about pneumonia. We hear about a lot of different things health-wise in the world. But we don't know everything because I'm not a doctor. Christopher Tubbs, who's producing, is not a doctor. So I said, let's get a doctor on. And Dr. Andrew Steam, pulmonologist with Allina Health, is joining us now, courtesy of the John Shuster-Cola Banker Hotline, to kind of give us some background and basics and specifics about this situation. First off, doctor, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
All right. Just a basic, question to open it up. What exactly is pneumonia?
Pneumonia is an infection of the air sacs of the lungs.
Air sacs of the lungs, infection. And typically, about how long does it take for that type of infection of the lungs to take place?
Oh, it can happen almost immediately for some people. It's interesting. Depending on your situation, you can go from being normal to a pneumonia within just a couple of hours.
Really? Wow. Okay. All right. So now, is there any specific group, of individuals like age group or demographic, whatever, that's more susceptible than other groups?
We're all susceptible. I mean, babies to the elderly can get it. The uniquely susceptible are persons with a immune suppression.
Okay.
So people maybe that have had an organ transplant or people that have are on medicines, they may weaken their immune system. And also people with an abnormal swallow are actually very prone to pneumonia because a little bit of the mouth, saliva and juices go down the wrong way. And so people with muscle weakness or swallow difficulties are much more prone to pneumonia as well.
What are some of the common symptoms of pneumonia for the people out there that are listening?
So the most common symptoms are shortness of breath and cough. So when the lung is expressing distress, those are the most common things it does. I'm short of breath, and I make a phlegmy cough in particular. Fevers, chills, night sweats, and chest pain are also very common symptoms of pneumonia.
Yeah, this is all rather interesting to me. Now, Pope Francis currently is in stable condition. That's the reason why I wanted to talk to you and have you on. They say after his episodes of acute respiratory failure happened on Monday, maybe give me a little bit of perspective. I know clearly you're not around him and don't know the specifics of his situation. But what you've seen through, I guess, maybe media reports that he's remained alert and cooperative. He's receiving high flow oxygen. What does it seem like to you from what you're hearing from these reports from afar?
Well, I'm worried about his overall health. I think we all are. And he's had it's kind of those two steps forward, one step back kind of situation. Earlier in the week, they described an episode of that little bit of what we call aspiration. So a little bit of mouth secretions or maybe even food going down the wrong way and damaging the lungs. Then they also reported the next day episodes of requiring a procedure called a bronchoscopy, which is where they had to actually go down into his chest and suck out phlegm because he wasn't getting rid of it on his own. And so those are kind of some worrisome signs. I'm worried about the pontiff. I wish him well, but he's by no means out of the woods.
Dr. Andrew Steam, pulmonologist from Allina Health, joining us here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Is the worry and the concern with regards to pneumonia more pronounced as we get older?
Absolutely. As you get older, your immune system in general starts to not be as strong as it was when we were younger. And the ability to cough and our strength of coughing also deteriorates. So and the important part of getting out the germs is coughing out the germs. The cough is critical. And if you're weak, coughing out the germs is just something we don't do as well as we did when we were younger and stronger.
Yeah, and let's go back for a second. You said people that have had, like, surgeries and operations, I think you might have mentioned something, they can be a little bit more susceptible to pneumonia. And why is that the case for somebody that maybe just had an operation or procedure?
So it's in some regards, you don't want to already have strike one when the pitcher puts a ball right down the middle. I mean, you don't want to have strike two. And so the Pope, when he was young, had part of his lung removed related to an episode of pleurisy. So he's already starting with some weakened lungs. And so people with emphysema, people with asthma, they're already starting with some degree of weakened lungs. And then you don't want to have the second thing that comes on top of that. So I have asthma, and then I get pneumonia. I have part of my lung removed, and then I have pneumonia. It's two hits as opposed to one hit.
Yeah. Doctor, you know, it says on a report that I'm looking at here right now that they have non-invasive ventilation, which is going to deliver oxygen through a mask with the help of pressure, is going to be resumed, or it's being resumed. Hopefully they'll do it until Wednesday morning. That's the plan. I guess what is the next positive sign or step that we need to see for us to feel like Pope Francis is going to pull through and he'll be fine?
When someone has pneumonia, usually the first thing to get better is the patient. So I feel better. I'm coughing less, and I feel better. The second thing that gets better is their need for oxygen. And so as I get better, I start to need less oxygen, or I start to need less assistance from a ventilator. And there are two forms of ventilators. There's the very significant invasive ventilator, which is where we actually put a breathing tube down people's throats,
yep,
and we breathe for them. And then there's the non-invasive ventilator, which in some regards is a little bit like a CPAP, which some of your listeners probably know about, which is like a tight-fitting mask that starts blowing air into them. So it's not in their lungs, but it's on their face and tight. And then there's the simple oxygen. You've probably been out and about and seen people with emphysema who are just wearing the little bit of oxygen under their nose and kind of blowing it in. So as they get better, you definitely don't want invasive oxygen. That's a sign of being very sick. Non-invasive oxygen is quite sick. But then just simple oxygen and improving from there are signs of moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think that we hear a lot of, and I'm so happy that you came on the show and are talking to me about it and kind of educating us and walking us through this, because a lot of times in the world we hear about terms, right? Like, unless we deal with it specifically with our, you know, doctors, then we just tend to, it's just floating out there, right? So I'm like, no, I want to get a doctor on that can talk eloquently about what the heck is going on and what is happening with Pope Francis, because I personally never had pneumonia before. But I will say this, I got a little bit educated on pneumonia this past winter because my father actually had an operation, and one of the things that he had to deal with after that operation, like you mentioned, was pneumonia for at least, I want to say, maybe 3 or 4 days, where they had to give him antibiotics around the clock for like 2 to 3 days to make sure that he was getting better.
Yeah, and pneumonia, aside from childbirth, pneumonia is like the number one cause of admission to the hospital. I mean, it is a very serious illness. It's one of the top causes of deaths, even amongst children, let alone adults. And so it's very serious when we see it. And so anyone that gets it, we should be doing whatever we can to make them better and wish them well, which is what I'm doing for our Pope.
Yeah. And final question for you, Doctor, and I appreciate you coming on. is, and it's probably way too early for us to tell, but of course there's going to be extensive research and studies that'll be done, because clearly just a few years ago, we're still coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic. Is there any correlation with some of the things that maybe we're seeing with pneumonia right now? Any direct ties to people that have maybe had COVID in the past?
And so COVID for some people is the strike one, like alluded to earlier. It can leave lungs damaged after you've had it, even years after you've had it. So, and then you get a pneumonia on top of damaged lungs from COVID. It's a big deal. I think one of the things that COVID also taught all of us, I remember seeing a lot of patients who felt they needed antibiotics because they had a pneumonia or because they had an illness, and they thought antibiotics was the only way to get better. But COVID taught us even viral pneumonias where we don't even have a therapy can be very severe and very significant. And so pneumonia is a very serious illness, and we need to treat it such.
Hey, Dr. Andrew Steam, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. It's been a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. That's Dr. Andrew Steam, pulmonologist with Allina Health, joining us here on The Lake Show. And look, that was great information from the doctor. I wanted to know about it because we hear terms a lot, Chris, and for me, unless I've had to deal with it firsthand, I don't know. You hear about it, and especially with the Pope, I keep hearing all these, because we air, the updates with CBS News all day, all night. You see the reports on the news every day, and I'm like, I want to hear from somebody that can give us a little bit of background, some perspective on all of it. Because I've never had pneumonia. I don't know if you've ever had.
No, I don't think that I have. If I have, it was a long time ago, and I don't remember. So I would say no, but you're right. When you hear it so often, it's like, well, what does it really mean? What is it? And you hear it so often, you're like, okay, it just becomes background noise. But to have a pulmonologist sit here and explain it and kind of break it down into simpleton terms, I think it was very educational. I'm glad that we had him on, and hopefully somebody out there learned something as well. But man, to know that it can affect anybody and it can get you in just a matter of hours. And that's, you got to be on the lookout when you hear something like that.
Yep. All right. 651-461-9226. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up hour one, and we'll do that next. In all of my years of being on the radio, sometimes you get hate mail. It just happens. It's happened at every single spot that I've been at. So it tells me that I'm doing something right. So I got a piece of hate mail earlier today from a MAGA supporter. And let me say this. I've gotten hate mail in the past. I'll get some in the future. You not agreeing with me doesn't move me at all. So, I mean, I get it. You're in your feelings. You sent me the mail. You're taking shots at the commies on the station. None of that moves me, whoever you are. And I appreciate that you took the time to type it out. What I don't appreciate, though, is you being a coward. When you send hate mail, put your name on it. Put your name on it. Don't be a coward. I can't stand cowards. I can't stand it. I remember years ago when I got my first piece of hate mail at KFAN. At least the guy put his name on it. At least he did that. You, ma'am or sir, whoever sent it, have a great day. You're not changing my thoughts. To think that I would be a person that wants to root for the downfall of our country and our communities, and you didn't put that in the letter. But what I'm trying to educate you on is I don't root against us having good lives. If the person that you back and the movement that you're part of negatively impacts our lives, I'm going to speak on it. I think that any person here on WCCO should speak on it if they want to. So your letter didn't move me. It's not going to change anything. Have a good day.
It's all about when you're here, Henry, and you've got this platform, or I'm here, or anybody else, you know who we are. You can look us up online. You can look at the social media. There's always a name and accountability that's attached to any sort of opinion. But when you don't want to put your name attached to it, why would you not, if this is the way that you feel, why would you not put your name on it? If this is how you really feel, own it and just put your name on it. That's all you have to do. I mean, you might not agree with it, but at least there can be a measure of respecting somebody for owning what their opinion is.
No, it's just cowardly. There's no other way to put it. And I guess this, like, if you don't like an opinion, then you don't like an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you differ politically, then you differ politically.
For sure.
But at the end of the day, like, I'm just being honest. Like, it's not changing anything.
No.
And I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah.
I don't know if that person sends the same mail to Jason or if they send it to Adam and Jordan or whatever. Because we've seen people that have texted like really ugly negative things to Jordana.
It's insane.
It's like ridiculous. I mean, it just doesn't, like, do you think that's gonna help anything? No.
No, it's not. At the end of the day, what you're doing is, if it makes you feel good to get that off of your chest, then great. I mean, if it's therapeutic. But yeah, at the end of the day, when you've got your job, Henry, your job is to give your opinion. And that letter, I don't know if they thought it was going to sway you or if it was supposed to.
I'm shivering in my boots.
Well, yeah, I didn't know if it was supposed to be something that was supposed to, you know, kind of shake you a little bit. I don't know.
Not at all.
But again, I do agree that if you're going to, just put your name on it. That's all you're asking for, is just don't do it. And I've
gotten letters from people that we've disagreed on topics before, and people have sent, like, they'll put like their address, their name on it, and just have a difference of opinion. And I've sent people letters back.
Yes.
I typically do, especially some of the fine women in the listening audience that have disagreed with me politically about certain
things.
Sure,
yeah.
And I've sent them letters back. Like, and they've appreciated that, because a couple of the people said, you know what, I thank you for sending mail back to us.
You can be respectful. You can have respectful discourse when it comes to very intense topics.
No, I think where we're at is there are people that believe, get on the bandwagon with the MAGA movement or just, you know, or that's it.
Well, you're going to get run over. It's our way or the highway.
It's our way or the highway.
Yeah, and which it shouldn't be that way. It's never been that way in the history of our nation. So why would... We know what the goal of this administration is. That doesn't mean that you can't speak out if you're not in favor of it or you don't like the direction of it. It doesn't mean that you can't speak out and say, I don't like the direction of this administration for X, Y, and Z. And that can lead to some constructive conversation. But when you come out and you're like, you know what, you're a commie sympathizer, Nazi sympathizer, you know, Donald Trump forever, viva la MAGA. It's like that's not anything constructive that's going to help anybody.
Yeah, it's just kind of a weird thing. Test line for the 952, kind of ironic that they call you a commie and then they support MAGA, which is led by a known communist sympathizer by the name of Donald Trump. Ridiculous.
Can I say that I was impressed, though, with the fact that everything was spelled correctly? And there was good grammar, because sometimes when you get letters like they're mis.
They took the time to type it out.
They did.
That makes me feel a little special.
It
makes me feel really special.
I mean, it would have been better off if it was handwritten and you could have taken it to a calligrapher and they could have, you know, cross checked it like they did on like Sally Jesse Raphael, and you could have like found out exactly who it was.
What show about her show? You used to watch it back in the day.
I'm just saying.
Were you on the show once?
I was a showrunner for Sally Jesse. You didn't know that? Yeah, we go way back. But no, I was just kind of impressed. I'm like, good spacing.
The dedication was proper, was impressive.
The dedicate what do they say? Commit to the bit. They committed.
They don't get that, but not signing their name, not saying their name, not doing any of that. No cool points, man.
No
cool points.
You almost had it.
Yeah.
You almost had it, but alas, it did not happen.
Yeah. I would give you some credit for that.
If they would have put the name on it?
Yeah. I just the cowardly way out. And their final word on there was it was big and it was like in bold. It said MAGA.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was supposed to read that one word at the bottom and just, oh my God, MAGA's listening.
I wonder if Antifa's listening too. What if they're listening?
You know they stormed the Capitol.
They did, yes, I know that.
Antifa.
That's what I heard.
Don't mess with them.
It's word on the street. Word on the street says, yeah, you don't mess with those folks. They're bad, bad dudes and dudettes.
All right, last night we talked to Ben Johnson, head coach of the Golden Gophers. They got a big game tomorrow against the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's talk to our friend Andy Greeter for the Pioneer Press. Haven't talked to him in a minute. He joins us next.